It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast. We have Fab Talk. We have rookie call-ups. And most importantly, we have Jeff Erickson back from Ireland. All coming up next. Happy Sunday night, everybody. Welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast. I am Scott Jenstad, joined by Jeff Erickson after skipping a week with some travel. Jeff, a couple weeks ago, we talked about some teams doing well. It was a bad week for that. My team kind of tanked, but you're back. The Warriors won the world title, so what am I really going to complain about, right?
Hey, Stryker is back. Let's do this.
Yes. No, I never left. You're the one that's back.
No, I'm back with Stryker. Yeah.
We need a call sign for you, don't we? We'll get the war dog on that one next year in Vegas. But how's everything? Your trip went well. You're back safe. Everything's good. So that's good to see. It's good to have you back.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Hey, it's great. I'm happy to be back. Got to do radio with Zola earlier today on Sirius XM. That was fun. First time, yeah, doing anything. Like I was able to, what was cool was I came back Thursday night and I'm off Friday and Saturday off, you know, it's never really truly off, but
right.
You know, I watched a ton of sports and it felt so good. You know, traveling to Ireland was great, but I missed my baseball. Really missed my baseball.
And it was a good sports weekend. They happened to all be in Boston, it seemed like, but it was a good sports weekend of, between the NBA finals, a lot of baseball going on, the US Open. It was really fun. I found myself watching a bunch of stuff this weekend too. And the US Open was really good this afternoon. It was, you know, down to the wire. So it was a fun weekend, and like I said, the Warriors won. So I'm happy with sports, even though my team that was at one point good is officially.
Are you all the way down to what, 11 now or something?
I think but that's a long way to go when you're single digits for a long time. It was it's one of those weeks. It's like hard to explain, but like I would go through box scores and look at scores, and I was like, do I have any players on my team? Like I just like that weird feeling of every time you look at a score, like nobody jumps out as like doing anything except for John Birdie. He was like my MVP this week, but other than that. Like it was just one of those weeks where every time I looked, nobody did anything. It happens. It's weird because all your players are on different major league teams. But it's funny how people tend to slump together, even though they have nothing to do with each other in the real world.
John Birdie was the people's MVP this week.
Boy, is that dude awesome.
Yeah, I have him exactly zero places too. I feel so smart about that.
I only don't have him on one NFBC team out of four. So it has been a nice.
That's why you're a striker.
It's been a nice, right, nice month of stolen bases for sure.
Yep.
But we had a lot of news come out this afternoon. Teams are having to go from 14 relievers to 13 relievers. We've seen some offensive guys called up. Long-awaited in Pittsburgh, O'Neill Cruz is being called up. Sounds like he's coming up for the Pirates next game. Did you have Cruz available in any leagues? How do you feel about him? Obviously, he's an uber prospect. We've been waiting for this. We've been waiting for him to, quote-unquote, learn how to pinch hit was the phrase last week. Obviously, they're just waiting for the Super 2 deadline to go by. It's very clear and transparent there.
Yeah, learning how to pinch hit. Is that just the stupidest excuse ever?
I read that, and I was like, I'm sure I read that wrong. And then I'm like, so he needs to learn how to, like, sit for 2 hours, come have one at bat, and then go back? Like, the Pirates aren't pinch hitting this dude, right? Like, they can't admit what it is, but, like, come up with something better than that.
Just say nothing.
Yeah, just say nothing.
Don't say nothing. I mean, come on. I mean, that's like, you know, you already hate your audience when you start, you know, when you, the way you behave like that. I mean, you hate your fan base, but don't insult them like that. I mean, come on. That was a
really strange one. That was top of the list of bad excuses there. But now that Cruz is here, how do you feel about him in terms of like impacting fantasy lineups right away? Are you throwing him in right away? If he was available anywhere, you're bidding heavily on him. How big an impact guy do you think he is? I mean, obviously he strikes out a decent amount, not too bad, 23% in the minors, but he's hit .233, but 9 home runs, 11 stolen bases, a speed power combo guy in a bad lineup. But how do you kind of feel his impact is going to be?
I mean, they should be playing him every day, right?
I mean, if they call him up, they're certainly going to play him every day, right? Like, there's no way Kevin Newman is playing instead of him, right?
Yeah, I mean, Hoy hit a homer today. They don't need him. Yeah. But
there you go.
He wasn't the only guy that homered for Pittsburgh. We'll put a pin on that. But
did you see Brandon Crawford run into Hoyt Park at second base today?
No.
I have no idea. He like ran into him. It was like a ground ball to the left side, you know, just a typical force out second. And Brandon Crawford just like ran right through him and ran into him and collided. It was like the weirdest play. I don't know if he was going to like run to third and like do that play where you just keep running, or he just didn't slide or thought it was a weird, you'll have to look at it later, like a collision.
Yeah. It might've been when I was doing the show. I didn't get a chance.
It was especially for a middle infielder too. Like usually those guys are like, I'm going to go ahead and, you know, do the right thing and not do something that would injure somebody. Just ran right into it. It was very strange.
I wonder if there's a history like earlier in the series, maybe that Park went in high or late or something like that.
Could be. It seemed that way, but then they don't, like Park was like kind of down and Crawford kind of ran off the field. It was very strange. But yeah, I mean, Cruz is certainly, I mean, just the body, it's like a 6'7" shortstop, which is weird in itself. And it's going to be interesting to see that. But certainly seems like he's someone you put in your lineup kind of from start one here.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's another sneaky good prospect week. I missed out on Nolan Gorman, and I feel bad about that because that one's worked out pretty well for people. I think we all got scared of some of the early prospect floundering that went on, but some of these other prospects have started to, you know, do some stuff when they've gotten called up. And I wonder if a couple months of seasoning in the 2022 season, as opposed to feasting off 2021 AAA pitchers, might have had something to do with it there. So,
yeah, although Gorman's been figured out a little bit. He's at 180 in June with a couple of home runs. It seems like he started really hot. And I mean,
that's a good point.
I mean, hitting in the majors is tough. It's just so you wonder. I was going to ask you about that. We talked about, you know, Kelnick and all these guys that came up. Like, do you feel that Cruz is someone that could hit right away? Or like, how confident are you that you want to be starting him in a fantasy league right away?
You know,
it's hard to know.
Hard to know. And this is where like a little bit of scouting background probably helps.
Yeah.
Knowing which guys are more likely to, you know, be ready to hit out right out of the box. Just looking at Pittsburgh's schedule, you know, they face the Cubs this week. That's pretty good.
That'll work.
Caleb Killian, someone who's probably already faced. Swarmer, Keegan Thompson, Justin Steele. That's not a bad landing spot. Then at the Rays, Springs, Kluber, McClanahan on Sunday.
Yeah, that'll be a welcome to the real. You got kind of an ease in for four games, then welcome to the real world. It's crazy how different the Cubs roster is from 2016 when they won the World Series. That is a quick turnover and not in a good way.
How about from the All-Star break last year?
Yeah, that's true too.
I mean, like, they had a winning record like in June last year.
And now they chose to tear it down. Jason Hayward, Kyle Hendricks, and kind of that's it.
And Wilson Contreras,
that's right.
Who is going to be the next to go?
Yeah, I would think so. I think maybe he's probably a trade deadline guy this year, I would imagine. But yeah, nobody wants Jason Hayward, so they're not going to be able to trade him. But yeah, it's rough out there in Chicago. A couple other guys that I think are being called up here pretty quick. We got CJ Abrams in San Diego. This one's an injury problem. Manny Machado hurt his ankle today. X-rays were negative. Looked to me like an injury that we're going to need an MRI before we know that he's coming back. I mean, obviously it's not broken, which is great, but I mean,
that was never the first thought though.
Right. My first thought was he ligaments. Tore like ligaments in there. Yeah. So
yeah.
Give me the MRI and we'll figure that out. But I imagine he's going to, you know, even if it's great news, I imagine he needs a week to 10 days off anyway. Mm-hmm. So CJ Abrams, who's been doing really well in AAA. We talked about him at the start of the year when he made that, you know, broke camp with the team. I think he has like 7 homers and 10 stolen bases in the minors. And Josh Lowe in Tampa Bay, another guy that came up, was at start of the year with the team after they traded Austin Meadows, struggled mightily, struck out every other at bat, went down in the minors, struck out a bunch right away and has been better since. But there are some rumors that he may be the guy that gets called up when they cut down from 14 to 13 pitchers also.
I think I even saw like late confirmation right before we were.
Did they officially announce it?
We have a note saying expected. That's okay. All.
Yeah, it seemed like I think he didn't play. He and Abrams both didn't play today, and they weren't in the lineups, and you know that obviously fuels speculation. Plus, you get the injury in San Diego. The Rays needed to cut a pitcher. I think they're both up. Are you optimistic on either one of them? You know, kind of hitting this time around right away.
I think maybe more low than Abrams, but I'm more confident Abrams playing more. If that makes sense.
It does, and you're more confident Abrams if he plays, he maybe steals some bases, got to get on base, but. He looked overmatched to me, but I guess Lowe did. I mean, Lowe's strikeout rate was, 38%? They both kind of looked overmatched the first time, but Abrams kind of looked, like, physically overmatched. So it'd be interesting to see if he can kind of take that next step up and maybe look like he belongs a little more this time.
Well, didn't Lowe, like, have a couple of good games right before his demotion? He homered, and then not really. It was 3 for 11. Okay, I'm overstating.
Hey, it was a 4-game hitting streak. That was pretty good with how the season started.
We call that a streak.
We do.
Yeah. I'm a little concerned if you have Josh Lowe, I'd be a little concerned that the Rays needed that cut down from 14 to 13 pitchers as the reason to call up Lowe, not because he was banging down the door. I mean, he is hitting well in AAA, but did you put any spec bids on Kelnick, by the way?
I did not. I was looking for people that were going to help me right away.
Yeah, you've got a good reason for that. You've got Mookie Betts.
So. I have Mookie Betts. I have Jeremy Pena also. So like two of my better players got hurt. So I was looking for. I needed players that were playing right away, or I think we're going to play right away. I picked up Edward Olivares in one spot. I'm hoping he gets called up pretty quick. He's on his rehab assignment, so I couldn't really do a stash at the moment. But Kelnick's an interesting one. Although you know, I don't know how many times he's got to get called up and not hit before we stop speculating on him. But right. I don't think we're there yet. I think that he's still obviously young, and we've seen a lot of guys that struggle first, second time through, but. His struggle has been pretty pronounced.
That is true. Question in the forum, Matt Sims was asking about this. He needs replacements for Pena as well as Jorge Polanco. That's tough to lose both at the same time.
It is. And as we get into Fab, like corner infield and middle infield was tough this week. Just looking at my list here, I was in on Ha-Sung Kim in San Diego. You know, I think Machado being injured helps him also. Obviously, Tatis is still, not really progressing as much as we want to. Sorry for your main event team there. But it was tough finding. It was tough finding middle fielders. Like Diego Castillo is mildly interesting in Pittsburgh. Hit a home run this week. He's playing a bunch. Sorry, I'm looking at my list. Vidal Brujan, I think, in Tampa, he led off a couple times this week. If you need stolen bases, he's second base eligible. That might work a little bit too, although he hasn't hit very much.
And he's been caught 5 out of the 7 times he's run, too. I mean, at some point, we're talking about him today.
It's good he's run 12 times, but at some point they're going to put at least an amber light on him, right? Like, you just can't let him keep going.
Right.
It's tough. I mean, Kevin Biggio started 5 of the last 6 games, but hasn't really done a ton. He's second base eligible. I found middle infield really, really tough this week. Looking at 12 teamers. Obviously if Luis Garcia in Washington's available, that would be an automatic grab for me, but probably not available in many leagues. It's tough. Didi Gregorius, Bryson Stott in Philly, maybe, but it's I found middle infielders and corner infielders really, really difficult.
Yeah, I did too. I tweeted I'm in AL Tout Wars where I lost Polanco.
You can't even find a body, right?
Oh, so here, it's unlimited IL spots in an AL only league.
Oh, jeez. Yeah.
So the two middle infielders that have any at bats in the month of June that were available were Charlie Culberson and kid on Cleveland, Ernie Clement. Those were my two choices. So I did get Culberson. So there you go. But that's the joy of an only league. You find a guy with playing time. That's just great. I mean, the fact is I've been running luckier than most in that league. So and it sounds like Polanco might not be a long-term thing too.
Right. Yeah. I mean, those are rough names right there. Yeah. Looking at look, Culberson has 15 plate appearances in June.
Yes, that's right.
Hey, he's got 5 runs scored. There you go.
Yeah, there you go. That's bang for the buck right there, boys and girls.
Someone asked in the chat about someone that I actually had queued up to talk about later, but we could just do it now since it came up.
You don't even have to have a reason.
How long are you riding the Nick Pivetta train, Jeff? This dude has been finally, I think we waited 3 or 4 years for this. I think you and I both drafted him the last time we were in Vegas live together in 2019. We were excited about getting him. I tell you what, I'm riding it right now. He looks really legit good right now. ERA is down to 3.31, pitch well again today, 10 more strikeouts. He's been really, I think it's like 5 or 6 starts. I look at the exact amount, but yeah, since it's even more than that. It's like 8 starts. His last 8 starts have been really, really solid. He had 1 4-run game. He still struck out 11 in that game. But no real issues since like early May. I think he's a set and forget it for me. Even a 12-teamer, I find myself benching some guys I wouldn't expect to and just playing Pivetta every week right now.
I've been reduced to rooting for derailment because I don't have them anywhere.
Rooting for derailment should be your team for the main event next year.
Yeah, it might be.
Or your next rock band. It's one of the two.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, one of them is going to be like Robbie Ray theme, so we'll figure about that.
That was a good way of you bringing up the fact that you won the Friday night
NFBC
Fanball DFS, where the winner gets a free main event entry. Congrats on that! That's awesome.
Yeah, thanks. I'm so excited about that.
I thought it was funny. You sent me the link, so I clicked on your team, and the only guy that's really bad for you was your best player Juan Soto, who didn't do anything. But
that was terrible. And then he homered the next 2 days, so or at least today it did. I know that.
But you had so many good plays in there that overcame that. You had Robbie Ray, had a ton of points. He had, what, he pitched 8 innings and had double digit strikeouts. Yeah, congrats on that. Hey, having your main event paid for already next year is pretty lovely.
That's nice. I decided to go the Ryan Roof route because it worked for him last year. So we'll see. And it's a great contest. And they don't run it every week this year, but they've run it like 6 or 7 times. And it's pretty stoked. You have a 1 in 50 shot, and actually you can do 3 in 50 if you want, but then.
Yep.
But it's $50 a try. They pay out 3 places. So if you get second or third, you have a really good lineup, you can still get a little pay. It's a big payoff too. So it was pretty cool to see that happen. And I was sweating Byron Buxton late. Like
you had him or someone else had him?
Someone else had him.
Okay.
Once he made that last out against Arizona, he was the last out of the game. I was like, take Robbie Ray out of there. I need the quality start. Don't let him throw another pitch. And it was so, and I went from like, keep him in. I need more strikeouts.
That's right. Cause you get, even no matter how long you pitch, it gets to 4 runs. Not a quality start anymore. Right.
Right. Well, yeah, exactly. And
he can go 12 innings, but he gets 4 runs. It's not a quality. I got you.
Yeah. And there was 6 points for a win and another 6 for quality start.
And they were way up. They were going to win the game anyway. So that's,
they were up 8-1 at the time. Well, it was 8-0. And then he gave up a first run, 2 hits in the 8th. I'm like, just get him out of there, you know, cause if they blow it, at least, you know, he's got the quality start and all that.
Right.
It's pretty funny.
That is, that's awesome. Congrats on that. That's awesome. That's a nice little $1,750 win in the middle of the season randomly.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
And given how I kind of suck at DFS, you know, I that should be a good testimonial that you should try to enter this contest, that if I can do it, anybody can.
Just takes one, right?
Yeah. Just be good at one time. So, yeah, but, going back to Nick Pivetta, legit, I think. More legit than Michael Wacha, who I still will use, though, also, if I have him. That's the funny thing about the Red Sox. They can't find a reliever to save themselves, but
yeah,
they can certainly find, you know, Michael Wacha and Nick Pivetta. Okay.
Yeah, they're doing something right there. And it feels like Tanner Houck maybe is finding the 9th inning, and they're going to just kind of settle on that. They've kind of gotten there a little bit.
They're finding some creative ways to get to Tanner Houck.
Yeah, it's nothing like nothing like this 6-0 lead, and you're like, oh, that's how can we create a save op for Tanner real quick?
Right.
Yeah, it's rough. But you mentioned Pittsburgh and guys hitting home runs. Jack Sawinski, 3 home runs today, including a walk-off home run that I was appreciative for because it got David Bednar the win in that game. David Bednar, who throws like 2 or 3 innings every time he pitches now. It's crazy how they're using him. But Jack Sawinski has 11 home runs and only 162 plate appearances. It's been a pretty good little breakout for someone that I don't think it was on anybody's radar when the season started.
No, certainly not mine. I even when he hit a couple early, I was like, oh, okay, great. That's a nice little story. I think they showed his mom and dad making his debut in Wrigley Field a while ago. And he slugged .686 this year before getting the call, slugged .551 last year in Double A. Okay. You know, there's something to be, maybe there's something here. But you know, it's not like he was, you know, he was, I think he was in the, was that the, Musgrove trade?
That sounds right. Looking at the systems here. I'm looking that up as we're talking. But it was in the Adam Frazier trade.
Oh, last year. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's already a win for Pittsburgh because
for sure, right?
Frazier was terrible with San Diego last year.
Yeah, no, yeah, it looks like it was the Adam Frazier trade there. But I mean, yeah, it's one of those guys hitting some home runs. I mean, the lineup's bad, but maybe getting a little bit better. He's still hitting .230, so I don't think we're going too crazy here. But, you know, 11 home runs, 21 runs, 19 RBI in a deeper league has certainly played so far.
Yeah, I would ride him. I mean, I think he's got some, yeah, I think he's got some potential to be kind of like a quick fade guy.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to think of who's the comparison I can make him to. But he could be the next Frank Schwindel.
That's a good comp. I like that.
but that gets you through a season, or at least half a season. By the way, Schwindel's a drop now that he's on the IL. Finally, a drop.
Yeah, I think so too. And it's a good point though. Like you don't need somebody pick up to be good for 5 months. Like you need them to be good for 2 or 3 weeks, and then you pick up someone else. I mean, you just have to be cognizant of that and make sure you don't, you know, just because he had a good first week. And sometimes I do that. I did that with Cole Calhoun this week, and I was like, oh, Cole Calhoun was really red hot, and then I keep putting him in, and he's going over 4 every night. You got to make sure that you make sure you get the hot streak, but then make sure you
know. How does he only have 7 homers so far?
Right. Yeah.
I have that same thing. I was looking at LA like, okay, he's not an plug and play anymore. Yeah. I got to get him out of there.
He had 4 home runs in like 1 week, but it was just, or even my one weekend, he was red hot. But speaking of red hot, is there any way that anybody can have a quieter 21 home runs than Mike Trout? It feels like like anybody else who has 21 home runs, we're freaking out about it. Mike Trout, we kind of expected, but he looks healthy. He looks fully back. He's striking out a bunch, but it doesn't really matter with Trout. Hitting the ball insanely hard, career high barrel rate, hard hit rate's over 50%. As long as he's healthy. He's not a stolen base guy at all anymore. He has 0 stolen base. He doesn't even attempt any. I think that's fully off the page. We thought maybe he'd steal 10 to 12 and help out there, but it's going to be probably, you know, 3 to 5, maybe, if he even steals at all. But he's raking right now.
Yeah, he is. I saw a couple of instances where people comparing him to the other breakout guys this year. I know I saw a comparison to versus Judge. Like Judge is having this out of mind year and he's got the same war as Trout. Yeah. You know,
it's crazy,
it's like,
right?
Yeah, and the thing is, it's because the Angels, again, suck, although they didn't suck as much this weekend. They finally decided that the Mariners are actually worse than them.
Right.
You know, it's funny to watch that. And it's just – I love Trout. I just love watching the guy play. He's just so fun to watch. So awesome. Yeah.
Like every time he's up, you're like, all right, if he gets anything, it's going to be out. When he gets locked in, it's funny because he had that one stretch where he was 0 for 26 or whatever it was when they were losing all their games. But man, since then, he's been fully locked in. He's at 290 right now. I mentioned the 21 home runs, 47 runs, 43 RBIs. He's going to be a 4-category monster as long as he's upright and on the field.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, seeing what he's done historically to the Mariners, it's crazy. Like 54 homers against them or something like that.
If you do a June 19th draft with your friends, what does he go, like third or fourth right now? Fifth or sixth?
Probably a little late, yeah. Well, depending on the status of his thumb, Jose Ramirez.
Yeah, and obviously Trey Turner.
Yeah.
Not Mookie anymore because he probably would have been up there with those guys. But it's probably right.
Judge or Trout, who do you go? Who do you got?
Ooh, that's a really good call. I go Trout. I love Judge, but I'd go Trout.
I mean, yeah, probably.
I mean, I wouldn't fight or argue over it. I'd love to have either one, but I mean, you certainly take both those guys over Juan Soto right now, right?
Oh yeah.
I mean, he's hitting. You assume it's coming around at some point, but this is 2.5 months of hitting 215. It's. I don't think we ever thought that was possibly in play for Soto for this deep in the year.
Yeah, I got a little trivia for you though.
Uh oh, I'm never good at these.
It's Aaron Judge and Jose Ramirez are the top. Top ranked in earned auction values on RotoWire right now.
Okay.
Our algorithm. Who's number 3?
That's a really
obviously it's not Trout. I'm going to give you that.
Yeah. Well, I would have gotten that if it was Trout. Boy, that's really hard. I was going to say Machado, but not only that's right. Rafael Devers, not enough steals.
No, he's close, but this guy actually only has 3 steals though. That's the amazing thing.
I think guys are 3 steals. Give me a division.
National League.
All right.
You know, we'll try to keep it quick because this is live, you know, but National League.
Oh, I know. It's Goldschmidt.
Yes. He's 346.
Yeah, the batting average.
Homers, 58 RBI, 48 runs, and 3 steals.
When you put up all those other numbers, I guess you don't need the stolen base in there to go crazy. He's been unbelievable.
But also, it's a non-zero, too. I mean, it's just a little... A little bonus, but 346.
Machado's got to be right there, right?
Remember when Goldschmidt was washed?
Oh, he was. He was done. He was like, eighth round pick. It's a safe guy, just with a nice floor, but not much else. And he's been awesome. He's hit 30 home runs every full season since 2017. So I don't
St.
know
Louis
why.
Is just going to kill his value. Yeah.
Right.
That was a good one.
Not so much. That was the NL Central. The AL Central, Cleveland's on fire right now. They're one back in Minnesota. We kind of talked a couple months ago, like maybe Minnesota just runs away with this, but Cleveland's playing really good ball right now. We mentioned Jose Ramirez has the thumb injury, missed the weekend, but they look pretty good right now.
Yeah. I mean, Jose Ramirez is just
awesome. Yeah. So good.
Oh, so good.
Yeah. Did they beat the Dodgers 2 out of 3 this weekend?
Yeah, I think so. They lost.
I know
yeah,
they won,
lost yesterday.
I know they won Friday night and they won today. So yeah, they must have won 2 or 3. Yeah, that's they come out on the road and beat the Dodgers 2 out of 3. That'll work.
Dodgers are kind of sliding right now though too.
Boy, they have a lot of injuries too.
Yeah, I mean, that's why the Machado thing is so huge today, because the NL West is kind of gettable for them. Yeah, I mean, they've got the pitching.
Yep.
But losing Machado would be devastating.
Yeah, it's funny. Some of the Dodgers guys that are there just aren't hitting either. So, I mean, you lose Mookie, but like Max Muncy has not done anything. And then he got hurt. And Bellinger, we had a little hot streak and then nothing. Justin Turner has been really bad.
That's who I was going to just bring up.
Do you think Justin Turner is a drop in leagues?
I contemplated that today when I heard that he's got a 600 OPS.
He's hitting 207, four home runs, home runs, no stolen bases. Hard hit rates down, barrel rates down, strikeout rates a little bit up. Still not a big strikeout guy, but he's 37. There's going to be a point where maybe he just stops hitting for crazy power. I'm not sure I'm quite there yet. In a 15 teamer, I'm not dropping him, but in a 12, there's someone out there I really, really want, I'm not fully against it right now. I'd probably wait in a couple more weeks, but not much longer.
Yeah. The value of that lineup around him is a little less too. I mean, even like secondary options, like losing Edwin Rios actually hurt this team.
Yeah, it did. I like Edwin Rios, but yeah, you're right. The insane depth that we were worried about, like where this is going to play. I mean, they got Eddie Alvarez playing right field the last couple of days.
Not well, by the way.
Not well. He did take credit for that. He said it was his fault, but for the game, which is never the case. But I mean, even look at the bench. It's Austin Barnes, Hanser Alberto, and Zach McKinstry. Like, it's not like they're stacking them. It's not like they're bringing guys off the bench to rake either.
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, Jeff, no surprise, but the A's are officially the worst team in baseball. How shocked are you?
Let me put on my shock face.
I think we had a conversation like 3 weeks in when the Reds were 0-70 or whatever it was, that what would be the date that they would pass them by? I think I said June 15th, and you said, maybe the All-Star break. The Reds passed them, Jeff, pretty easily. It's really, really bad. They're unwatchable to a boring level, which is the worst kind of unwatchable.
I'm hip to that, but the Reds got swept this weekend, so let's not so fast here.
You're still ahead of us, though, aren't you? Is it close? Oh, we're 23-45 and 23-43. Good God,
dude, our Reds and our A's,
two worst teams in baseball. It's a proud moment here.
Yes, it is. I mean, it's tough. It's really tough.
Wow. You know what's crazy is I just looking at my percentage points. The Nationals are right in there too. I knew the Nationals were bad. I didn't know they were quite that bad.
They had like an 8-game home losing streak.
They have the worst run differential in baseball, -109.
Yeah, the pitching is horrific.
We make fun of the Cubs for falling off after 2016. I mean, the Nationals won the World Series in 2019.
Well, yeah, and immediately lost Rendon. Immediately they signed Strasburg, and that's chose Strasburg over Rendon.
Yeah.
If you look at it that way.
And then traded Scherzer and Turner last year.
Yep.
And now Strasburg, who knows? He's out there throwing 90, then went back on the IL, which is a shame. I was hoping he was going to do well. But he had the thoracic outlet surgery, right?
Yeah.
Which is one of those ones that I don't really know if people come back fully from.
Very infrequent. Yeah. It's bad. They also had like guys that like went out high, went out on top, like a Howie Kendrick type of player. You know, you can't build around him, but he actually gave them their best. Adam Eaton, they really miss Adam Eaton. No, they don't. He's out.
Well, you can't really blame him for not signing Rendon, I suppose, because that has been a horrendous contract for the Angels.
Well, yeah, that was news this week too. He's out for the season. After a relapse on that wrist. But you know what? I don't blame the Angels for that. It's not like you could predict like the wrist was going to fall apart like that.
Yeah, it's been almost all injury. I mean, he hasn't been great when he played, but it's been almost all injury related. I don't think he's ever fully been healthy since he's been there, really.
And I feel horrible for him, too.
I do, too. I like him. I like him as a player. I like watching him. And he had that huge year with the Nationals. And then he got paid. He's got $154 million left in the contract. That is –
Yeah, it's not like it's the NFL. It's not going to get voided. So
yeah, that's true, too. Real quick, week 12, there's a few less games than normal. There's only 8 teams with 7 games. A note for fantasy leagues, there are 2 teams with 5 games. The Rangers and the Nationals have 5. And there is one day game tomorrow, Jeff. I think it's a 10 a.m. start for us.
Yep, Mets and Marlins.
I knew it was the Marlins. I was trying to figure
out. Wraparound series.
Oh, fantastic. 10 in the morning, I can watch Trevor Rogers blow up my week before it starts. That is perfect.
Well, why don't you bench him then?
Because he's throwing twice this week. If I was going to bench him, I just would have dropped him, which I almost did.
Is that – that's so crazy to talk about, but it's true.
I actually – I mean, he was my
– Both starts against the – oh, sorry.
I know, they're both against the Mets. I know, it's
– Sorry, I interrupted you. Go ahead. You were going to say?
What would you do in that situation?
I'd bench him.
You'd bench him for those two?
Yeah. I mean, has I'm looking he at my given sheet. You any sign of hope?
None. My worst category is strikeouts and wins, so I think I'm going to throw it. It's strictly a where I am in the categories. I think I'm giving him. I'm going to give him this week. I could change my mind by 10 in the morning tomorrow. But he, like, you know, some pitchers you watch and they get blown up in like one inning, or they look good. So, I mean, he just looks bad all the time. It's weird. He looks like a completely different guy than last year. I don't know. You look at the velocity; it's pretty much the same. The changeup is definitely less effective, but yeah. It's hard to usually you can figure out like what's wrong with guys or what's hurting them. It's hard to figure out with him, but. It's almost every start. It's not like he has like a few moments. You're like, oh, there's the Trevor Rogers I drafted. You don't even get that even for a few innings. It's not like you get like three shutout innings with six strikeouts. It's just not there.
There was a road start against the Braves where they rested him like an extra day or two. And for the first four innings, he was nails. It was just like boom, boom, boom. And then he gave up three runs in the fifth. You're
I
like,
remember that one. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, I don't know what you do. I bench him against the Mets. The Mets are the team I'm afraid of the most, except for that maybe Dodgers when healthy or the Rockies and Coors.
And it's freaking twice. I don't know how the schedule worked out. I guess that's a wraparound series of the Mets, so they play them once tomorrow. And then I just
that's about right.
Or the Marlins were playing the Mets this weekend, were they?
Yeah, they were.
So it is a wraparound. Okay.
Yeah, it's a wraparound.
I know that Encarnacion hit that grand slam. I was trying to remember who it was off of in my head, so that makes
sense. Now when you saw like the daily
It was off Seth Lugo. That's right. Yeah.
If you saw the daily lineups page, when you saw Jay Encarnacion in the lineup, what did you think of
Juan for sure?
Yeah, right.
I was like, how? Wait, where am I? What year are we in? I know I'm old, so he can't still be playing. But yeah, it's funny. I did the exact same thing when I saw that.
Have yourself a day, by the way.
Yeah, nothing like debuting with a grand slam to take the lead late.
And hosing a runner from like the warning track too.
Do you follow the British Marlins fan Peter Pratt?
I do not.
He's really funny. He's a huge Marlins fan, but lives in the UK. Okay. And he had a video like running through his backyard when he hit the grand slam. Like he woke up his father-in-law because he was so loud when he hit the grand slam. It was pretty funny. He's a huge Marlins fan. I don't know how that happened in the UK, but he's really really funny. He's a good follow.
Nice.
Yeah, it's all Marlins stuff. He does a Marlins podcast too, but he's a really funny guy and breaks down all the Marlins games every day. So it's kind of, you just don't see that very often for the Marlins, but
no, you don't.
So let's jump into Fab a little bit. Let's go with hitters first. Usually we go with pitchers first. I want to go hitters first. I think hitters were a little more interesting this week. We mentioned the infield was tough, but there were a lot of outfielders. The biggest name was Riley Green, called up by the Tigers week. Obviously he was probably going to maybe break camp with them, got hurt, and then he's been out. Then he was rehabbing, came up, and he was on base four times first game. Tigers scored 14 runs. I don't think they'd scored 14 runs in like a week and a half before that. He was 75% rostered in the main event. I think it was like in the 30s in the 12-teamers. I'd have to look. But he was available in my main event where I had lost Mookie Betts, so I was pretty aggressive with him. I went in at like 235, which is pretty much higher than I go with anybody, and I lost by $150. So I was not even close. So all my hemming and hawing with like, oh, do I want to go up $5, down $10, like stupid because I lost by $150. Didn't even matter. But there was a couple teams that had a lot of money in my league, so I'm not too surprised. The guy that's in second place in that league actually was the one that got him. He had a lot of money, so I guess he's down in money now. He got up for 371. But I feel like Green could be, one of the last few guys that could be a real difference maker right away.
I was just going to say, you're probably not happy that the guy in second place got him.
I'm not. I was hoping if someone went crazy, if someone in 13th place, that probably wouldn't matter. The guy in second place getting him, if he's really good, that actually impacts who wins this league.
So he was, I have one of the main event leagues where he's available as well. We did a keep him honest bit of 119. Okay. As best we can tell, we finished third in the bidding. He went for 147. Runner-up of 123. And John Posma won him. So, that's pretty awesome.
Of course he did.
Yeah, again, not happy about that. And considering, like, we've got a lot of pitching points and not so many pitching hitting points. We have a decent amount. I mean, we're doing okay in the league. But we could definitely use another bat, especially because Bryce Harper is perpetually day to day now. So
He has an infected blister. Is that what that was? Yeah. Is that why he didn't play this weekend? And it's funny because it couldn't have hurt him that much, because I think he had 4 or 5 hits on Friday in the doubleheader. He didn't play the second game, but he came in and got a 2 RBI single. But you guys need him to, you need the Phillies to hang in there more than anything, because as long as the Phillies are in, I think he's going to give it a go as long as he can and do something about it in the offseason.
Yeah. And so the Braves going on that big winning streak was not helpful for that.
They're pretty good wild card wise though, right? Maybe not. They're like, there's a lot of teams stacked, only 2.5 out, but there's a lot of teams really stacked up where if you kind of lose 8 of 10, you could lose touch pretty quick, I suppose.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, the Marlins with a plus run differential. I didn't know. That's pretty good. I didn't think they were.
They've had some big, the Marlins have lost a lot of 1-run games. Yeah, Joe Sheehan wrote about that. And then they've, also, recently, I feel like they've had some offensive explosions.
Yeah, that's interesting. So Green, I wish I was in your league. That would have been a win on Green.
I wish you were in my league on principle too, by the way. But yeah,
that's not true. John Posman in the league. I'm not really jumping in that league right away.
That's true. Good point.
I wasn't even the runner up, Jeff. The runner up in my league was 253. I didn't think I was 238. If I'm looking, remember it right, that was the number I came in at. So I thought it was a pretty good bid. I thought that I would have a good chance to get him. I wasn't even the backup. It just shows my league was very aggressive for Green.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you and I were talking, you thought it was going to be 150 to 175 was going to win it, but originally. And I told you I was going to keep him honest at 150. Like, yeah. Don't get me wrong. Shu and I can't arrive at our number the way we did. I mean, we were fine with that number. So you didn't really dissuade me, but it was interesting to see different strokes, different folks. It just,
and you actually, when I asked you what you thought the winning bid was, you were way closer than I was. I think you said something like 250 to 300, and you in my league, it was still even higher than that in my league. Your league was low. It just shows how different each league is. You just need one or two guys that really need something or lose somebody that week. I mean, you look at like someone like Kendall Graveman was available in this league. Like, you, if you have Liam Hendricks, that means a lot more to you, because Liam Hendricks says he's going to be back in 2 weeks, but like, he might not be. And the news has been good. He's a guy that he's going to, do whatever he can to get back out there. But, one setback with a forearm strain or whatever, forearm soreness, and you certainly want the backup guy. So, Graveman means a lot more if you have Hendricks than don't.
Yeah. And we do, and didn't get him. So that was fun. And
was he picked up last week, or is it picked up this week?
No, this week. And we missed out on Brad Hand too.
I don't know if missing out is the right term for
yeah.
that.
Yeah, aloha. But
I got that one.
Thank you. Thank you. Although you shouldn't have. I mean, that's like before you were born, I think.
Yeah, but I'm of the age where everybody watched Fast Times.
All right. Okay, yeah. Cool. There weren't too many closer types to bid on. And that's been a continuing
thing. By the way, that's been like 6 weeks. It's funny because when I was putting my Graveman bids, I scrolled back in my league to see, what were people bidding on some of these closer guys. I had to scroll back like 5 weeks before there was I think it was Anthony Bender or someone like that. I had to scroll back a while before there's not been a big closer turnover at all.
It's funny you mentioned Bender, because our consolation prize was a $1 Anthony Bender.
Oh, is he back in our world here?
There's a chance. I mean, Tanner Scott blew one this week.
He did.
Excuse me. Excuse me. Air just kicked on here.
Goodness gracious. Live radio can't beat it. Tanner Scott's been good, but yeah, he's lefty, and managers tend to want a righty, and Bender was okay earlier. I mean, for a buck, you could drop him next week. I don't think that's a bad stab.
And we had a droppable Devin Smeltzer. So yeah, why not? But our consolation prize that was a consolation prize. Hitting wise, consolation prize after not getting Riley Green. Well, then nothing actually in the league where we had Green available. But
mine was Edward Olivares was my consolation prize, who is in his rehab assignment right now. Yep. Hit a home run today, and before he got hurt. We joke a lot about him kind of being up and down, not last year, where they sent him down, 10 or 12 times and back up. But it hit well in his 38 plate appearances this year when he came up. He's in 371, obviously small sample. But you look at 2021, 15 home runs, 12 stolen bases in the minors across 300 plate appearances, hit 313. He's someone that I feel like if he just can stay healthy and stay upright and get a bunch of plate appearances and play every day, there's a lot of opportunities to play in Kansas City. I think he's someone that could help, especially in 15 teamers. I think he could help in 12 teamers too. Just a matter of him getting the at-bats and playing time, which are both pretty big ifs right now.
Yeah, absolutely. So, but yeah, I have him in a couple of leagues. All in the case of Oliveras, I do. So where did he go? What did you get him for?
$27.
Went for 58 and 17 respectively in my two mains.
Yeah,
so
it's
again, crazy. See that you can see the arbitrage there, but
and it's why at 6:30 on Sunday trying to figure out bids is never an exact science. You just kind of have to, do what you think it's going to be and stick with that. And more times than not, you probably that ends up working, but there are going to be times where just nothing you could do about it. My third consolation in leagues was actually Orlando Arcia, who has been playing a lot for the Braves with Ozzy Albies being injured and out for 2 months. Arcia is outfield eligible now, but going to get second base eligibility. But hitting with some pop. 21 games, got a 53% hard hit rate, 12.2% barrel rate, way off his career norms. And this may be just a weird streak, but maybe he changed something also. I felt like he was a guy, if you squint a little bit, you kind of see some production here, especially in a deeper league.
Yeah, Shu and I got him in one of our two mains also.
I like that.
And yeah, a previous questioner was asking about middle infielders. I was like, oh, I was about to suggest Arcia, but he's not there yet. But he will be. Albies being out. I saw Albies getting dropped in the main. And
I did too.
That's a painful drop. You're just like,
Yeah, he's got six games at second base already. So it should be, as long as he keeps playing second, which he has been, we'll get another week and he's middle infield eligible, which is nice.
Yeah. So early last year, there was some buzz on Arcia as someone who had changed his swing plane. Maybe it was in 2020. I forget which year. No, because 2020, obviously, there was no minor leagues to be had. So, but there was some talk in his Braves iteration that Arcia is a guy that had changed and was worth pursuing.
It was last year because he hit 17 home runs last year in 74 games in AAA for the Braves. So, yeah, it was last year. That's a good call right there. Yeah, so it's not just a – maybe just not this year thing. Maybe he did kind of change who he is and what he does.
Yeah, but the funny thing is he kind of sort of got a chance and the Braves liked it so much they went and traded for four outfielders.
That is true. And won the World Series, though.
Yeah, it is true.
Eddie Rosario and Jorge Soler helped that a little bit also.
Yes, they did. Even Jock did too.
Yeah, that's a good one. Can't forget Jock Cobra.
Yeah. But Arcia, he's off to a good start now.
I like that. How much you guys get him for?
I want to say 37 or so.
Yeah, he went for 35 in mine. I was a little low.
38.
I had Oliveras ahead of him, but Arcia was 35 and 46 in mine. So he was a popular guy too.
We gave up on Frank Schwindel finally.
Yeah, I think that going on the IL, it's tough to hold fringy guys when they get hurt.
Yep.
The other big name, and this is more of a 12 teamer because he was owned in most of the 15 teamers, is Alex Kirilloff in Minnesota. He was 57% rostered in the NFBC 12 team leagues. I really like Kirilloff. I picked him up 2 weeks ago in the main event, and I'm looking forward to deploying him. Wrist injuries are a massive issue with him. It's a matter of how long until it hurts again. But was absolutely mashing in AAA. I just wanted him to get called up, and then when Betts got hurt, I'm like, all right, you gotta call him up now because I need another player. But 10 home runs, hit 360 in AAA across 157 plate appearances. This is a prior big prospect. It's a first round draft pick, 15th overall in 2016 in the amateur draft there, and someone who's hit a lot, especially for average in the minors. I really like his skills. It's just a matter of they got a lot of weird parts in Minnesota where, I don't know how the playing times will work out with, Larnick, and obviously Buxton's going to play. There's just kind of a lot of Kyle Garlicks there too.
Yeah.
I just hope they just kind of slot Kirilloff in. I mean, first base is fairly open. Sano's obviously out, but I'm hoping they just slot him in and let him hit because I think he can.
Yeah. I think you're right. I question the usage. I think that's the only thing I'm worried about there.
I feel like it's going to be a frustrating Monday. The lineup comes out and he's not playing. And it's just I feel like there's going to be a little frustration that they have a lot of movable pieces. A lot of guys can play different spots and, some guys obviously are going to play every day. So I hope they figure it out. Cause I think that, I think he can just hit. And I think hopefully they figure it out. They got Kepler, you got Larnick, you got Jose Miranda there too. It's just, they got a lot of pieces that are kind of similar.
Yeah.
Anybody else hitting wise? Jaron Duran in Boston has been leading off, but didn't play today. And there's a lot of talk that, once Kike Hernandez comes off the IL, Duran might go back down. When Christian Arroyo comes off COVID IL, maybe Duran goes back down. I kind of tempered my bids on him as much as I like the prospect. I like the fact he was leading off. I just don't know if he's going to be there on Wednesday. And I just couldn't risk that.
That's the way I felt too. I feel like the Red Sox don't particularly like him.
weird, right? Like, we get guys like that, you're like, why don't you just give him a shot? And they just kind of send him back down. And last time, I think he let off and then got sent back down that afternoon. It's just very strange if you're going to lead a guy off and then send him back down. Like, it's very strange, but especially when you're, you know, better, well-thought-of hitting prospects. But I would have loved a bit on him. The stolen bases could be nice, but I didn't trust that he's going to be playing, by the time when everybody comes back.
Yeah, that's right. And you just... Yeah, you just wonder about that and wonder if like he might be like a bargaining chip for the Red Sox to go get pitching help.
Yeah, no. I think they should trade him for Lou Trevino right now. Is that not what you meant by pitching help?
Yeah, we have different definitions of the word help.
Yeah, I'm really trying to pawn Trevino off on somebody. I don't think it's going to work out. But anybody else on offense you're looking at? We already talked about the rookies with, you know, Abrams and Lowe and O'Neill Cruz. Is there anybody else that you guys were really, targeting or aggressive with on the offensive side?
In the 12s, you know, it's obviously a different universe. But I picked up Alec Bohm in a league. That was my Rendon replacement. And then Brandon Belt, who is healthy for now again.
For now.
For now. But he could be useful at times. I did get Sawinski in a league, or the league where I dropped Cole Calhoun. As soon as I realized like Calhoun's really not playing every day and he's only got like 7 homers, it's like,
I dropped him by 12 too. I held him for one more week in the 15 because they get 3 games against the Nationals right-handers over the weekend. So I kept that one, but he's very much on my fence in 15s right now. I think we rode the hot streak and it's time to jump off.
Yep.
Let's get into some pitching talk and fab, but first a note from our sponsors at Blue Wire.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We thank our sponsors for those ads there. Jeff, starting pitching is tough. It is tough every week now. I think Jeff Zimmerman wrote in his on his Fangraphs Fab column, just like, I hope you like the pitchers you have because there's not much else to supplant them with. Was there anybody going after? Mitch Keller apparently has changed his pitch mix. There's people like him. Bo Brisky was brought up by a number of people. I saw you tweet about him earlier today, too. There was a couple. Ryan Bloomfield tweeted about him also, showing a little bit his last few starts. Yep.
So funny you say that because Ryan Bloomfield outbid me on Brisky in the AL Tout Wars. Now, I'd put in a very tepid bid because that first start is against the Red Sox this week.
That was my thing. I looked at him like, Red Sox. You're like,
but he does get – then he gets Arizona – and then he gets home start against Kansas City.
That is nice.
And he's inducing more sink. He's throwing his sinker more, inducing more ground balls, more strikeouts, fewer walks in his 3 starts in June.
Yeah. And they've been really good. One with 2 earned runs, two with no earned runs. I mean, it's been really good. I had him in my bids too. I saw Ryan talk about him, you talk about him. So then I went and looked at him and I was like, this is, in a time when there are very few pitchers you can stomach picking up without, really cringing. He feels like that Boston start, you just kind of hope you get 5 innings and 3 earned runs and get out of there. And then, hope they just pull them really quick and get through that. And then those next 2 starts could be pretty nice.
Yeah, I was kind of sort of cringing when I bid on him. Completely, totally cringing. Absent of that, we're just looking like, do you take on rookie X, and just take a chance on some of these guys? Yeah.
On Aaron Savali at all in Cleveland coming back with potentially 2 starts this week?
No, I wasn't.
I just don't. I mean, he was just so bad when he was before he got hurt that I couldn't stomach it. I mean, 7.84 ERA, 1.52 WHIP. It just swing strikeout under. He's never been a strikeout guy, and if you're not gonna be a strikeout guy and you're not gonna get ratios, it's tough. Right. I mean, he just gives up so many home runs. I just couldn't do it.
Yeah, that's exactly kind of how I feel too.
How do you feel? You're the Reds guy. How do you feel about Nick Lodolo? He had his second rehab start. Looks like it went pretty well. He only threw a couple innings, but pitched really well. You think we got one more rehab start? B, do you think the Reds extend him and he can be a usable starter for us in fantasy leagues?
Well, I would have lost money on any predict when Nick Lodolo comes back contest came up. So I won't guess on that. But
meaning
I like
you thought it would have been 2024 or like a month ago?
A month ago.
Okay.
In fact, I think I kept him on my roster in yogurt all this time because I thought he was always a week away. And I still think I'm holding on to him. I dropped Strasburg before him.
I would definitely drop Strasburg before him.
I don't really know. But I like the talent.
Yeah, I do too.
It's just a question of how, and then durability and how much is he going to get stretched out? You know, is he going to pitch three innings, four innings, and then finally go to five if we're lucky? Or is he going to be really good to go right when he comes back? That's the other question.
I picked up last week because I couldn't even find anybody that I remotely could stomach. So I'm hoping that he ramps up a little quicker than that. But that's my concern, is that we might see three starts of 3 and 4 innings. And that makes it really tough to hold, because then we're talking a month from now before he really throws five.
Yeah, exactly. For a bad team in a bad ballpark, by the way.
I wasn't going to disparage your team.
Our team, Scott.
Sorry, I won't disparage our team. Did you do anything in the same vein with Luis Patino in Tampa Bay? He's on a rehab outing right now also. I picked him up in one of my mains for $4 because it was down the contingencies and there was nothing else there. Maybe I'll see his rehab start and see what it looks like. I mean, I like the talent, but again, another guy that probably might throw 3 innings his first 3 starts also.
I saw him getting picked up, and I feel bad that I missed that trick. Because, like you said, it's pretty tough on the waiver wire right now.
It is.
It's really tough.
I had 10 pitchers I can use this week. So I figured I had a couple spots to maybe throw a stash in there, and I didn't need a pitcher. And there was nobody I really wanted to pick up. So I kind of went with that and figured next week, if the rehab start doesn't look good or they push him back a little more, I can always decide. But I figured that was a better call for me than picking up a fringe starter to maybe throw 2 starts and hurt ratios. So
yeah, no, I think that's and it's good team, good ballpark. Yeah, of course. The only thing you worry about is deep depth in games. But again, I mean, you're betting on the talent here, and so yeah, I like that play a lot. I wish I would have thought about it. What we're waiting for now are like the emerging guys this summer.
Yeah.
Like which prospects are going to take that next step up at AAA and be ready. Get a chance to perform for the team that might give them a real chance at winning too.
Yeah, no, it's tough to find arms right now. We've gotten to the point where the first month was really easy because you could throw anybody and they wouldn't get hit. And now we're at the point where even the good guys are getting hit right now.
Yep.
So we mentioned Kendall Graveman a little bit earlier. What did he go for in your main event where he was available? We're talking triple digits or more of the high twos. What did he end up going for? Because it could be 2 weeks or it could be longer. You know, we know forearm strains or sure. You just never know.
72.
All right, that's about what he went for on mine too.
85.
So there was a definite range of like, this is a real legit bid, but not going crazy triple digits. It was kind of, I saw him in that range a lot this week.
So I'll pose the question at you. In the league where our closers are Scott Barlow and Clay Holmes, not very stable in terms of number of saves, but he was available, as was Danny Jimenez. Who would you prefer?
Jimenez.
Which is what we decided to. Because Graveman could be a week or 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And there's
a non-zero chance he could be 2 months. But, I mean, I think that's a pretty longish shot at the moment.
Yeah. There's a non-zero chance that Jimenez could be 2 weeks also. But
for sure. I mean, he seems like the nice thing with Jimenez is when he struggled, we talked about, who's going to pick up? Who are we going to pick up? And then they went right back to him. Like, they didn't even have a, Corey Knebel, take a week off. They went right back to him. And they had a 3-run lead and it got extended to 5 and he came in. Everybody's like, oh, he came in with a 5-run lead. He was warming up with a 3-run lead. Like, he was coming in for a save, and then he came in for a save this week. So I don't think they want AJ Puck to get saves. I don't think they want to mess with his arbitration anything. I don't think they even want to play that game because they see Puck as kind of a longer-term guy. I think Jimenez is just the guy to go out there. And when they do have a lead in the 9th inning, which is not very often, I think he's going to be the guy. And it seems like the leash is pretty good right now.
So we got Jimenez for 79. The second place bid was 55, whereas Graveman went for 85 versus 77. So we actually bid like 49 on Graveman because we thought it could be as little as a week or two.
That's right. I was in the 70s on Graveman, then I dropped it down to the 40s based on the Hendricks quote like an hour before the deadline. I didn't want to spend 70, 80 for a guy who literally might close for 2 weeks.
Right.
It wasn't worth it to me. Real quick, the Philly situation. Corey Knebel is like on the outs right now. He pitched poorly again today. We've seen Brad Hand get a couple of stave ops and not look great. We saw Seranthony Domínguez look great, but seems to be the high leverage guy in the mix here. Did you do anything here? Domínguez was pretty much owned everywhere. Did you do any Brad Hand speculation?
Did waterfall bids and we didn't get them. That's fine. Like, for instance, we got we got Jimenez over him, and I prefer Jimenez. So
I definitely prefer Jimenez. I have an online league that has been impossible to get anybody in the waiver wire closer wise. I'm like 60th overall, and the only thing I don't have is saves. So I actually got Hand for $9, and I feel much shame about it. I do not want to play him, but I think I'm going to have to.
Yeah, but you dumpster dived. You got him for $9.
Yeah, I was going to. I couldn't stomach spending a lot on him. I was in the 40s on Graveman. I got a little bit outbid. I probably should have gone higher, but I just didn't trust it long term. And I just, I'm not going to watch any Philly games all week because that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah, don't watch your closer. That's always the rule. Well, watch everybody else's closer.
Unless it's Emmanuel Clase or Edwin Diaz or Josh Hader. But
Yeah.
If it's Brad
Hand, watch your marginal to subpar closer.
It is just so I made the mistake a couple times. I watched forget who it was. I watched someone bad, and it's just not worth it.
No, it really. I mean, even when you convert and it's a hold on to your, you know, hold on with a white knuckle save, it's just not worth it. You know, because you know, like, oh, he didn't do anything to earn any confidence for the next one.
It's good to see. I just noticed that we jumped on right as the White Sox Astros game was ending. Ryan Pressly did get a save in that game. That's nice to see. So,
yeah.
Let's talk about some injuries. There were a lot of injuries to big name guys. I feel like we've kind of skated the last couple of weeks on, you know, missing the huge name guys. As I was prepping the outline, I kind of had to look for guys to talk about the injury, and I did not have to look very hard this week. There's like six or seven guys that are in the first three rounds that were injured this week. The biggest is Mookie Betts. He had the collision with Cody Bellinger. It's always Cody Bellinger's fault. But as he played and then he sat, and then he was in the lineup, then he got scratched, and then he had a fractured rib after they saw the scans. Dave Roberts said they're optimistic he's going to be back in 2 weeks. I would be shocked if that happens. I have to think it's going to be a little bit longer than that, but I sure hope that's true.
You don't sound as apocalyptic as you did last night, though.
I don't. I was, it was a bad fantasy week.
I'm thinking about dropping him. No, you're not thinking about dropping
him. Well, no, if he was out 2 months, I might have to think about it.
Yeah, but you know, you weren't going to get like that pronouncement, is my guess. But anyways, yeah.
No, I said I was going to figure it out today, but yes, it was not great. It's never good to see your first round pick have a fractured anything, but.
What's the maximum amount of time that you would hold him? Like,
if he was scheduled to be back on August 15th, I would hold him.
So if 7 weeks, basically.
Yeah, if it was longer than that, I think I'd drop him.
Okay.
It was eight to 10 weeks, I would have dropped him.
Okay.
I'm not holding him for a month in September when, you know, who knows how much he plays right away. He has one setback. But, yeah, if it was if 4 to 6 weeks, 5 to 7, I think you have to hold it at that point. But 8 to 10, mm-hmm. I 6 to 8 would have been a really tough call for me.
Yeah. Holding on Tatis. I'm still holding on Eloy.
I was going to ask. Well, Eloy's restarting his rehab Tuesday, yep. So I think that's an easy one. But how worried are you about there's something up with Tatis that it doesn't seem to be healing nearly? And everybody's like, oh, I told you should have drafted Tatis, but everybody thought he'd be back by like mid-June.
Oh, I'm worried, but yeah. I've got other drops. Until I feel like I don't have other drops.
Have you felt the squeeze of the six-man bench a ton, or you've kind of been able to work around
it? Oh, I felt it, especially when other things hit. You know, you know, obviously there's some weeks more than others I feel it. But, yeah.
I think you have to hold him now unless there's some sort of negative setback news or something like that, right?
Yeah, that's right.
You're not going to hold him 2.5 months. He comes back July 15th, and you don't get the last 2.5 months.
Yeah, that's right.
His teammate, Manny Machado, we mentioned had the ankle sprain today. Looked bad. X-rays were negative. We assume the MRI is coming tomorrow. I assume he's going on IL, even if it's like the greatest news ever. But I just hope it's not really bad because he was having a really good year.
Yeah, that'd be awful if it was that. But it looked horrible.
It did look. It looked really bad. It looked like his ankle bone like hit the ground bad.
Yeah.
No, it was like Steph Curry 2012 bad. It was awful.
Yeah, it was just I heard the reports and it's like, oh, it's bad and all that. Then I saw it. Yeah. I'm like, oh.
Yeah, like that must hurt a freaking ton. But so hopefully we get some good news there. Hopefully it's averted a major injury. We're really hoping that there. Right. Yordan Alvarez in Houston had a weird situation. Like he took it at bat. It looked like he was like maybe hurt a leg or an oblique or something, but it turned out to be a hand. Dusty Baker said tonight it's not serious. They kind of caught a break. They thought it was a hamate bone for like 12 hours, which would have been, you know, end of season for Yordan. Sounds like he's been out a couple days. Hopefully we don't get any other news here, but it looks like we may have skirted a bad one here.
Yeah, except did you hear like the conversation with him though? It was really weird. Like, I'm not gonna tell you what body part. Oh, okay, it's a hand, but
it's very strange.
Because they're gonna pitch him differently or something like, dude. And he goes, this isn't football. We have, you know, in football, they tell you everything. We don't have to tell you. No, you do have to kind of say the body part. You're kind of required to, but.
Yeah, the whole thing was strange. Like, it's weird that it was a whole day and we didn't know what body part it was, which mm-hmm. And his reaction, it was hard to tell. Like, I thought it was an oblique, by the way. He kind of came out of the box and then kind of jogged to first. It was weird. It was a weird reaction for a hand injury.
Kind of makes me think they're bullshitting us.
I do. That's my concern, is that we get a second part of the story tomorrow, which is concerning. The way he reacted was not a hand injury reaction. And I'm just reading into that. I obviously don't know. I'm not a doctor. I don't know any of this stuff, but he didn't react like it was a hand injury.
No. No. And that, I hate to see a beautiful thing destroyed.
He is among the elite of the elite hitters.
Yeah.
Speaking of elite hitters, Jose Ramirez has some right thumb soreness. He sat Saturday and Sunday. Again, they don't really think it's a long-term thing, but with your first round pick, you certainly want to see him on the field before you exhale on this one.
Yeah. And he went for an MRI today. That's enough to make me worry. Now, I think they're off tomorrow. So, I mean, it's good that it gives you an extra day to recover, but bad because
not getting an update on it. Yeah.
Yeah. Although I don't think there's a lot of games on Monday this week, so that helps. That maybe you'll have more options to pivot to for your other day-to-day guys.
Yeah, it's but I mean, that's just one of those ones I'm looking. It's about it looks like about 7 or 8 games tomorrow. So yeah, like half the league is off, so that does help right there.
Yeah.
We mentioned Bryce Harper infected blister on his hand, sat Saturday and Sunday. It sounds like he'll be back for their next game-ish, yes?
Yeah.
Close enough, yeah. Tyler O'Neill is a tough one. He left late Sunday. He had a double and kind of pulled up going into second. It was the ninth inning. Yeah. They said it was left hamstring tightness. I get the feeling that Tyler O'Neill is probably wound pretty tight muscle-wise, so that's always a concern with someone like that. I mean, this could be 2 days, it could be 2 weeks. It's just we won't know until we get an update from the Cardinals.
Plus, doesn't he like get a day off here and there anyhow? And
feels like it.
He hasn't been good. I mean, it's one of the high, features of my super mediocre Yahoo friends and family team. That's like the one league where I have him, and it's been frustrating.
That's a tough league to find guys to pick up, by the way. Every time I go to pick somebody up, unless it's like a rookie that just got called up, or you can go race to the wire.
Right.
It's like every time I'm like, oh, I'll pick up Franchi Cordero, and it's always like it's rough pickups.
Yeah, it is. It is.
It's a 16 team league, which is why. But every time I go look for someone to help me out, I'm like, oh,
and it's first come, first serve. So, I mean, yeah, it's great if you have the idea and you see it happening before everyone else and you happen to be at a computer. But if you aren't, and you're like, say for instance, in Ireland, it's really difficult to catch
up. Too bad.
You
needed someone to get called up in like the middle of the night US time. It would have hooked you up perfectly.
Yeah, exactly. As I'm looking at some castle. What are you doing on your phone? Oh, sorry.
Just responding to an important work email.
Yes, exactly.
You mentioned Anthony Rendon out for the year. Obviously, he's a drop in every league. Unfortunately, not good there. Ketel Marte, actually some good news. He's had a lot of hamstring issues through his career. Sounds like he's expected to be ready for this week. So I think you can deploy him back in your lineup. Obviously, I would check that first. But they do play tomorrow. They play at San Diego, a late game, but at least they play tomorrow. So we should know. But it sounds like he's going to be ready to go on Monday.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, let's hope that it doesn't impact his performance, though. You know, one of those, he's playing, but he's playing through it sort of things.
Yeah, for sure. We mentioned Eloy Jimenez could resume his rehab assignment on Tuesday. That thing has lingered forever. You just want to see him hitting. He's a fun guy to watch. Yoan Moncada sat the weekend with a hamstring, which means he had about as many home runs as he normally does.
He had a big one during the week.
It was funny because I think you went on last week. We talked about it with Toby, bat flip crazy. We kind of were just like, yeah, just someone asked about, should I drop him? We're like, there's just nothing there. And I think he had a 3-run homer like 24 hours later or something like that. But it's just, I'm shocked how empty he has become as a hitter. It's like, this is someone that was 25-10 in 2019, like, and on the rise. And he was 24 then. And just, I don't know. I mean, he just hasn't been the same since COVID. I have no idea if that, it'd be weird if that still affected him, but he's never been the same since 2020.
He was dropped in some 12s, and I actually picked him up in a 12, and I kind of regret it. I mean, it's just like, ugh. I mean, especially because it wasn't, I bid more than one, you know, for him, or I bid more than a couple token. You know, it didn't go triple digits or anything, but still, it's like, ugh. almost, yeah, I might be close to a drop again. It's funny, though, when he hit that homer, I saw some people crediting Lance Lynn for like firing up the team in that home, you know, like
because he was yelling at Joe McEwing in the dugout or whatever it was.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, he had a homer on the 15th against Detroit. And then he got hurt right after that. So he hasn't had one at bat since that game. But I think he had five hits in that game against Detroit too. It wasn't just a home run; like he went crazy that game.
Yep.
But yeah, he's in a .179 with three home runs and no steals. He's not a stolen base guy anymore. He has three stolen bases combined the last 3 years. It's hard to play the guy at a corner infield spot right now.
Yeah, it is. It is.
A couple of Brewers updates. Brandon Woodruff is back in our life, which is a great thing. He's had seven strikeouts. He got eight outs in AAA. He got seven strikeouts, 2 2/3. Sounds like he's going to make one more rehab start, and then we can put him back in the lineup. So that's really good to see, especially because that's a weird that he had the Raynaud's symptom with the numbness in his fingers.
Yeah, he went from that to seven strikeouts. I mean, yeah. Wow.
So, yeah, a good sign maybe that he's feeling better. You just hate to see anything with that, you know, blood circulation related. You just never know what's going to happen there. Colton Wong, though, had a bit of a setback in his calf injury rehab. He won't be eligible or won't be ready when he's first eligible. So make sure you have a backup in for Colton Wong. You mentioned Frank Schwindel, IL with lower back strain. I think I agree with you. I think he's just a drop in all leagues. And if you didn't pick him back up later, that's fine, too. Tim Anderson on the good side, set to return on Monday. Tony Lewis has said Anderson will be leading off and playing on Monday. So if you've survived without Tim Anderson, it's time to get him back in the lineup.
Yeah, and in fact, I cut a guy in reliance upon that. I had two guys I could slot in, like Espinal and Jonathan Scope and Wilmer Flores. So I was like, okay, I can cut one of those safely now.
I did the same thing. I actually cut Ahmed Rosario. He's actually been pretty good. He was pretty good for me.
He's been running lately.
He's been running, had a good June. I didn't get up seven steals. I just had like three shortstops that I play him over, so I just couldn't keep him on the roster. But I did the same thing.
Understandable.
I have Anderson and Dansby Swanson, and there's just no way I'm playing.
Dansby, over 290 now, dude.
By the way, you're guy too. Like you were the Dansby Swanson. I know you love when I say you're the guy for something, but you were the Dansby Swanson guy in the preseason. It looked a little sketchy in April, but he's been awesome. He's got nine home runs, nine stolen bases, at 290. Hitting the ball hard, barrel rate's good. He looks great right now. And hitting second in the lineup, it's perfect.
It's kind of a replay of last year. You know, it started off terribly and came on strong like a lion. He's Dansby the Mansby now.
He's been really good. I mean, he had two stolen bases today, right? I think he's higher than that now. Then. So he has 11 stolen bases now. I shorted him a couple. My apologies. But and hitting 294.
He understands.
Dansby and I go way back. We'll be good with that. Yeah. But he's been, that's a good call by you because he's certainly someone you just play every single week and slot him in and forget about it.
Yeah.
Most of the guys I wanted to talk about, we hit during this conversation. The last guy I wanted to ask you about is Salvador Perez in Kansas City. Obviously the massive year last year, 48 home runs, hit .273, does have 10 home runs, but we're 226 plate appearances in the season. We're June 19th. Sal Perez is 209. How worried are you about this?
Not really. I mean, he was not going to be that guy that he was. I mean, he's not going to be the guy that he hit like crazy last year, right?
Right.
We knew that. But certainly not like 2020. But
he was drafted like he was going to be close to that, though.
He could still hit .260 the rest of the way, and I'd be perfectly fine.
So ends up at .240 or something like that.
Yeah, and he hits in the last 3.5 months. He hits 15, homers. 16
oh,
homers.
I was gonna, even no okay.
Yeah, I got him in a trade in this XFL league, which is a hybrid.
In a trade recently.
This weekend, yeah.
Oh,
big deal. It's keeper / dynasty. It's kind of hybrid between the two, so there's salaries involved and all that. All right. But it's a go for it trade, and I had Jacob Stallings as my catcher, as one of my catchers. So
speaking of empty, yes,
yeah. But that was one part. I mean, basically the big assets that I gave were a draft pick in March. Our March draft is huge, and then also a prospect, George Valera. Those were the two big parts that I sent back.
You're not sending Julio Rodriguez back or anything like that.
No, unless he finds him early in the second round, because I'm contending. Right. So either that or, you know, so it's a prospect or closer basically is what he's getting next year. Because we do our auction in October or November, whenever we do first pitch Arizona.
Right.
And then we do a March supplemental and a lot changes in that time. So,
and you're right. Plus, especially closers and young guys. Yeah, that makes sense.
And the auction, you can't buy minor leaguers either. So, So that means any pop-up prospects that happen in over the course of the year, you get them in this March draft.
Gotcha.
And that includes, yeah. So, and that includes the recent draft class and all that. So those are valuable picks, but at the same time, you get a chance to go for it. It's a 15 team league and it's hard to win this league.
So five, six good catchers overall. So if you can get a chance in one of them. Yeah. I like the timing on that. I am a little worried. His strikeout rate's up 28%. It obviously went up the last couple of years. He was selling out for power a little bit. I think we knew that, but you know, it's even higher than it was. Barrel rate's down, but still over 10%. Hard hit still pretty good. Everything's down from last year, but not down super dramatically. Yeah, I think maybe if you ended like 235 and 28 home runs, I probably wouldn't argue that that might be an end of year line for him.
Yeah. And keep in mind too, he was hurt right when things were starting to get good at the plate. So yep, he's maybe behind everybody else. He slogged through April like everybody else. In Kansas City especially was a slog.
Yeah.
Their team context was a slog. They're going to get Vinny, the Italian breakfast here in a little bit.
Are you sure they're going to call him up?
I'm not sure, but
he is mashing in AAA though.
Yeah, he is. It could be a better lineup. They called up Melendez, which makes me think that
I like him as a hitter, by the way.
Yeah.
He can mash.
I mean, I think out of finally, you got to cut the cord on Carlos Santana at some point in time.
Yeah.
I think that's really, they have to make that hard decision at some point and, you know, good in the clubhouse and all that. But
they could be a pretty fun, you know, top six of the lineup pretty soon here.
Yeah, I think so.
You know, with Witt and Pasquantino and, you know, Sal Perez and Merrifield hasn't been good, but maybe he gets hot. And then you mentioned Melendez. They could be an interesting, like, it's funny because I talk about the A's are bad and the Royals are bad, but like the Royals are imminently more interesting than the A's are.
Yeah, they're probably going to trade Merrifield more before he gets, you know, before he does much of anything, though.
Probably could be true also. He has not been good either. But Pasquantino has 60 RBIs right now.
Is that good?
It's pretty darn solid for 62 games.
Yeah.
I don't know enough about how they call guys up, but I mean, past Super 2, you got to think it's pretty quick here at some point.
Yeah. So. Got a question in the chat. What do you think? I'm going to throw this, make you answer this one. Jesse Winker, is he droppable?
It's a really good question. I am someone who loved Jesse Winker, but not in Seattle. I have no problem dropping Jesse Winker. Hard hit is way down. Barrel rate's way down. Not hitting for power. He's not anyone that was going to ever give you steals anyway. I just think that's too much for an outfielder. I'm good dropping Winker.
Send him back to the Natty, please.
Yeah, man, I loved him in Cincinnati. Hit 305, 24 bombs last year, hitting in that park. It's amazing how far everything's fallen off, though. I mean, his hard hit rate last year was 47%. Now it's 32.5%. Barrel rate's cut in half. Maybe he's pressing some on a new team, but I don't think you can keep throwing a guy that has four home runs and no steals through 270 plays. But I just don't think you throw that in the outfield right now.
It's interesting that Winker was the prize and Suarez was like the,
right,
you know, the albatross tied to him in that trade. Suarez, actually, I mean, he's better than last year, but he's not great. The Mariners hit rock bottom this weekend, though. Got swept in the doubleheader yesterday and then lost again today. You know, it's Jose Suarez. They had some kid making his debut, or maybe not his debut, but his first start. It's tough. We got someone asking for DJ Malk wants a trade advice question.
Fernando Tatis, Chris Taylor, and Christian Javier for Dansby Swanson, Christopher Morel, and Sir Anthony Dominguez. That's a lot of ones right there. I don't know if it's a key. I assume it's not a keeper league if someone's trading Tatis.
Right.
I'm actually going to take the Dansby Morel, Sir Anthony Dominguez side and just get all three guys, knowing that Tatis is going to come back at some point. I just like the other guys on that side a little bit more.
Yep. And, you know, it's the uncertainty with Tatis. I mean,
yeah,
if we knew he's coming back in 2 weeks, it'd be one thing.
For sure.
It's not a keeper league. So, yeah.
I like Chris Morel, too, leading off for the Cubs. I like his game, a little bit of power, a little bit of speed. Dominguez has been lights out. Kerry Knebel's been a mess. I think Dominguez is going to be – has a chance to be the guy for them in the second half. And as we mentioned before, I love Dansby Swanson right now, too. I think I'd take that side.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Yeah, cool. Well, Jeff, it is always good to have you back. I missed you last week, although Bat Flip Crazy was filled in very well. It was a really fun and good show. I thank Toby for that again. But always good to have you back.
Good to be back.
Absolutely. If you want to follow Jeff on Twitter, he's at Jeff_Erickson. I am at Scott Jenstead. You can follow me again. I will not be talking as much basketball, so we'll talk a lot of baseball. You don't have to worry about that anymore. But other than that, I really appreciate everybody listening, everybody tuning in, everybody viewing, everybody asking questions, everybody listens on the audio version also. We do really appreciate it. If you could rate or review the podcast, helps us out a lot there too. If you enjoy listening to us, could leave some stars, leave a good comment. That helps a lot also. So we appreciate it. Jeff, anything else before we get out of here?
Check us out on Gaming Golf on Tuesday with Jeff Ritter. We got to preview the Greater Hartford Open.
No, is that what it is? I thought it was the Travelers.
Travelers, I know. I still like calling it the
Greater Hartford. Oh, is it? Okay.
Same tournament. Same tournament.
Five of the top six of the world are in the playing this week.
Nice.
I wonder if the PGA is like, yeah, you guys need to play a little bit more because we got some trouble on this side.
All right.
I wonder. I think there's a little nudging there. But again, thanks everybody for listening. Yes, Gaming Golf will be on Tuesday. We'll be back here next Sunday night talking baseball. Hope everybody has a great week. Take care and have a good one.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.